Welcome to The Credit Connection with High Tech Lending's David Brown, helping you get your finances in order and get you the credit you deserve.
Welcome to our show, The Credit Connection. I'm your host, David Brown, with High Tech Lending and American Senior Reverse Mortgage. At The Credit Connection, we are a financial literacy class with different topics each week. We show you how to connect to the credit you want and deserve for your home, business, and personal use. Here we discuss all things creditworthy, such as lenders, FICO scores, interest rates, credit cards, reverse and forward mortgages. You name it, if it has to do with credit or money, we discuss all the aspects. And this week, the Federal Reserve lowered their federal funds rate by 0.25%. This is the first rate reduction by the Federal Reserve in 10 years and should have a positive effect on the economy and interest rates. Also, if you've been watching the news, Capital One had a breach in their database. So my recommendation is to put a freeze on your credit profile with the three depositories, TransUnion, Equifax, and Experian. Call them up, ask them to freeze your credit, particularly if you had an account with Capital One. So if you're asking what's in your wallet, soon it'll be nothing, okay, if you're an account holder with them. Be careful, and you don't have to lose your wallet anymore to be a victim of fraud any longer. All you need is a computer. So anyway, also wanted to share a couple of success stories we recently completed. First was a reverse mortgage whereby the appraiser said the whole home needed to be painted for a cost of about $10,000 due to the exposed wood throughout. And it was a bad paint job. There was no paint left on it, actually. The owner didn't have the capital to paint before closing, and it seemed like a catch-22 problem. We cured the problem by doing a property repair set-aside for the painting work and closed the loan. The set-aside funds for the repairs will pay the painting contractor when the job is finished. On another transaction, the borrower had a previous BK, bankruptcy, a divorce that was nearly 10 years old. However, some creditors in the BK placed liens on his home and never removed the discharge, and his ex-wife was still on title. We had to reopen the bankruptcy court action and the divorce court action to remove the liens from the property and get the ex-spouse to sign an interspousal deed. While the borrower prevailed in finally getting all the items accomplished, a significant amount of time had lapsed through the courts, and rates were now below his original lock of 4.25%. Folks, lenders want to complete loans and do loans. We were able to get the lender to float down to a 3.625 rate and close his refinance. So you just have to ask, get your loan mortgage originator engaged, and make that happen. I encourage you to ask your questions through our website, reloans.com. Hit the Contact Us tab and leave your questions or comment. You can also call us at 805-686-2321. Today's program goes like this. Consider a borrower needs a loan for the purchase of a property, but his circumstances don't fit the typical profile or parameters of a bank. Let's say he's got a screaming deal that if he can close in 4 weeks' time, he might make $50,000. On the purchase, but the bank can't move that quick, or they don't like the profile or credit report or something unique about his circumstances. Well, this is where private money lending, or sometimes referred to as hard money, comes in. Our guest today will give us the insider's look at the many benefits of using private money lending. Today in the studio, we welcome Neil Stedman. Neil's the owner of Cascade Capital. Neil, welcome to the show.
Thank you, David. Good to be here.
Thanks. Neil, tell me a little bit about your background, your upbringing and so forth, and how you got into the private money lending.
David, I was born at a young age, and thank you for letting me say that. I originally started out as a public school teacher for about 8 years, and in the process became interested in real estate and real estate finance. I eventually opened 4 real estate offices in Santa Barbara, had a property management company, and was involved in some private financing for my own purchases. I later sold the mortgage company. I sold the real estate company and the property management company. And since 1990, I've been specializing in arranging private financing for borrowers.
Wow. Well, that's a lot of different borrowers over the years. And I noticed your tagline, "In God we trust, all others pay cash."
No. "In God we trust, all others require collateral." Collateral, yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
So that's a funny tagline. I always enjoyed that. Well, tell me, what is Cascade Capital and what does it do?
We basically match private investors, lenders, if you will, with borrowers and properties that don't fit the bank mold, as you described earlier. We also arrange the sale of seller carryback mortgages. When someone sells a property, carries back a mortgage, and later decide, oops, I need that cash, I need to do something else, or they're trying to settle in the state. I've had attorneys and CPAs call me, how do we divvy up this money when it's in a note? And so we have investors who will buy seller carry back real estate notes anywhere in the country. We've gone and sold notes in Florida, Colorado, New Mexico, Oregon, et cetera, et cetera.
Wow.
But most of our business right now is matching private investors with people in the tri-counties who have need for quick capital or have unique circumstances in their personal background, such as you described. They may have a BK that's not gone past the deadline that banks look for. Right. They may have credit issues. There may be a new job. They haven't been on the job long enough, right, et cetera. So we are equity lenders. We look at the property as collateral. Is the property a decent property? Is it saleable? And if the investors like the looks of the property and the borrower has the capacity to pay, we'll put the transaction together. Mm-hmm. One of the key reasons people call us, though, is timing. They need it today.
Yes, yesterday.
Or yesterday.
Right.
Yes. They have difficulty. I got a call just last Friday, in fact, from a gentleman who wants to buy a condo in Santa Barbara, and he has a certain deadline, and he's already talked to two institutional lenders, and they can't meet that deadline. And he's a qualified person. It's a good buyer. I mean, a good property as well. We're going to be able to put that together for him, and he can meet that deadline.
Cool. Well, that's perfect. Tell me then, who is the typical Cascade Capital borrower or profile and why they use the private lending? And we discussed timing, but also, do you have a profile of that type of individual or...
I wish I could give you a cut and dried profile. 90% of our business comes to us by referral, and the business typically comes from mortgage brokers who don't do private financing. Mm-hmm. It's kind of its own bailiwick, and that's because we have a covey of private investors.
Right.
And our investors are typically folks who have been around real estate or maybe investors or are professionals, retired business people, et cetera. And they are the ones who are lending the capital. They look at it in a common sense perspective. So our borrower can be most anybody who has the capacity to pay.
Okay. So looking at it, so some of the benefits to a borrower in using the private money would be for timing and the motivation of the seller or the buyer, either one. It doesn't fit the bank guidelines or the their institutional requirements for whatever reason. It might be the debt to income ratio. It might be the fact that they want to take it in the form of a LLC or a corporation, and banks won't do that type of.
We have much more flexibility, David, in that regard. The entity. We've loaned funds to trust, LLCs, corporations, that kind of thing. The other factor is the type of property. We've loaned on land, industrial property. We've even made loans on two gas stations, if you can believe that.
Okay.
So oftentimes, the borrower might be terrific, but the property itself has something unique about it that doesn't satisfy the lender.
Or even a house of worship or things of that nature. Yeah. Not many banks will do those types of deals.
We have made loans to churches. It's a flexible format.
But your investors, are they looking for first trust deeds or seconds? What's their comfort zone?
We've even made a third trust deed loan, if you can believe that. We look at loan to value. Typically, the loan to value, combined loan to value, isn't going to exceed 70%. So there has to be 30% equity in there. If it's on land.
That's their skin in the game. That's
their
30%.
Skin in the game.
Right.
And if it's a refi, for example, folks have come to us who have a balloon payment coming due. Maybe it's on a seller carryback. How am I going to meet this balloon payment? And for whatever reason, they can't go to the bank and get it. So we can make a loan to pay that loan off on a refinance for the property owner.
Okay. And that would be, from an investor, or not investor, I'm sorry, the borrower, you're able to do that if they're non-owner occupied, though. Is that correct?
We don't do what they call consumer loans. And I'm sure your folks on the radio have heard you explain consumer loans, and that's where the funds are being used for personal, family, or household purposes. We do not make a typical residential owner occupied, we want to buy this house to live in type of loan. We're looking at loans for investment purposes, for business purposes. We will make a loan on a single family residence if, in fact, that money is being used for the business or if the entity is a corporation and they're going to use it as a headquarters, that kind of thing, that's fine. But typical residential owner-occupied is something. And the reason for that, as you well know, David, all of the confusion over the Dodd-Frank changes in the law in the last half dozen years have created issues that create difficulty in terms of timing, detailed disclosures, details in terms of debt coverage ratios, et cetera. And with business purpose loans, which is our specialty, that is of not the same concern.
Yeah, you don't want to play in that space.
We don't want to, exactly.
Yeah. Well, what types of property work best for private lending? Is there a particular property type or?
Well, the preference is something that's going to generate income.
Okay.
And if it's a business purpose, is the business generating income? If it's a property, for example, a 10-unit apartment building, is it generating positive cash flow? Are the payments able to be made? And, you know, our lenders are individuals who are looking for passive income. For example, several of my lenders, they have 401ks or they have IRAs, and they're using their IRA money to invest in a deed of trust. And they're looking for monthly payments that go into that account. They don't want to foreclose on a property.
Yeah, they want coupon or mailbox money, we call it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then we service all of those loans, so it's a carefree situation for them.
Okay. Well, that helps. Yeah, it's a no-brainer and a hands-off, no continuing management type of thing. Hey, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Neil Stedman on private money lending.
This just in, breaking news from David Brown of American Senior.
Considering a reverse mortgage? Listen, FHA is changing this program October 2nd. FHA is increasing their upfront mortgage insurance premium four times the current cost, which means after September, your $200,000 FHA reverse mortgage insurance will increase dramatically. FHA is also reducing the principal limit factors, lowering the amount you can take from your reverse mortgage. If you're age 62, your principal limit is going to reduce from 52.4% to 41%. So, if your home is worth $500,000, your available loan amount could drop $57,000. Act now. Call David Brown at American Senior at 686-2321 before this program changes. Get the most out of your reverse mortgage. Call 805-686-2321. American Senior, licensed by the Department of Oversight under California Law Mortgage and Lending Act, NMLS number 7147, California number 34130937.
Welcome back to the second part of our show, The Credit Connection. If you're just now joining us, we're speaking with Neil Stedman on private money lending. Neil, we ended up with why you don't do residential occupied homes or owner occupied homes. From a seller's perspective with private banking, what benefits do they see?
Typically, the best private financing that a seller has is seller carryback financing. When a seller is in a position to carry back, whether it's a first or a second mortgage, they're going to get a faster sale and a higher price. For them to go into private lending doesn't make a whole lot of sense as a seller, unless they're not selling, they're just doing a refi to buy another investment property, that kind of thing. But I don't see offering private financing for a seller makes a whole lot of sense. We've not had that experience. Typically, it's the buyer coming to us for private financing to get the deal done.
Right. Well, you'd mentioned that you coached or helped seller financing transactions, but not to create them, but to liquidate them.
Well, you know, that's a really good point. What I try to tell real estate brokers, talk with your seller if they're planning to carry back paper about what the best terms and conditions are to make that saleable paper should they need or want to sell it in the future. Mm-hmm. And I've given real estate agents and brokers a checklist. Here are some of the things that you should be consulting that seller with in terms of structuring their seller carry back paper for sale sometime down the road. Right. And they say, well, no, we're going to keep it. Well, I can't tell you the number of times that the seller said, well, I'm going to keep that note, that they call a year and a half later and say, well, golly, I really want to buy that new Mercedes, and I need the money from that seller. Or even, and this has happened, an estate occurred. We had a case in Colorado where the seller carried back the paper, and there were four heirs, and the estate was trying to be settled. How do we divvy up this?
An income stream.
This income stream and this note.
Right.
And so we were able to sell that paper and divvy up the proceeds according to how the trust designed the distribution. And I think looking at it as a future event, planning ahead is one of the best things that a seller can do, or an agent can do with their seller in making it a saleable note.
That's good to know. I mean, it's kind of the old saying, you know, my price and your terms. Or vice versa. If I know when I bought a property, it was all seller carry, and I paid dearly for it, but it was by my terms, and they carried the whole thing. So it worked out. Matter of fact, I had the county assessor agree with my valuation on a net present value because the note was half, or the note was worth, the present value is worth about half of what the cash transaction was or would have been.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, and the benefits to the seller may be a better price. The other things to the seller is that they can take an installment sale if there's a gain situation. And then preferably, if it's not the price, maybe shorter marketing time.
Well, definitely if there's a time element, it benefits the seller in making that sale sooner rather than later. Mm-hmm. Also, you mentioned of the tax benefits, postponing capital gains is a really beneficial thing for the seller.
Right.
They'll obviously pay some capital gains on the cash in their jeans that they get upon sale, but if they can defer some of that cash payment over a period of time, it puts them in hopefully a different tax bracket maybe, and saves them some money in the long run.
Yeah. Well, what are some of the key benefits to the investor or lender for private money?
Typically, monthly payments create a nice, consistent cash flow. Every investor I talk with, I ask this key question. If we have to foreclose, would you like to own this property?
Mm-hmm.
And they have to be comfortable with that idea. Now, fortunately, We seldom have to do that kind of thing because we look at a loan to value where there's enough meat in the game for the seller to be able to sell if they have to, or right. refinance and take that lender out if they can't make the payments. But I always ask the investor, okay, do you like the property? Mm-hmm. In some cases, the property might be marginal, but I have one person in mind that says, you know, I'd really like to help these people out. So I think they can make the payments. Yeah. So I'm going to make the payments based on the people involved,
right.
and also the property, because that's a security. But they look at the monthly payments and the cash flow, and typically our loans go 3 to 5 years. Mm-hmm. The loans are amortized over 40 years with a balloon payment in 3 to 5 years, and there has to be a way for that property owner, the borrower in this case, mm-hmm. To meet that deadline exit strategy. And right. so we help them outline what the possibilities are. Right. And so often it might be just a fix-up of a property, not necessarily a true flip
right.
A type thing, but fix it up, rent it for a while, then sell it. Fine. That's one way.
Another
one is to call David Brown at High Tech Lending and get a new loan.
Get a new loan, yeah.
I got that in there for you, David.
Institutional.
But call High Tech Lending
that.
And David Brown.
We'll have them call you for the first go around. But I see that. So they're looking for the consistency of payments. The security's in the property, so they have to be comfortable with that in case they do have it. Timing's important for them. They can turn this money, and if it's every 3 to 4 years or every 3 to 5 years, they're not getting set by any particular interest rate at the time. Knowing that, like kind of like a 3-4 year CD, they can roll right. it over and get current interest rates, or at the time for whatever those might be, and then leverage. Do any of them actually make that investment, get the note back, and then do they leverage that note to put out again?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't have a. There are some. Big players. A lot of money has come into the private lending market in terms of mortgage funds, where they get large groups of people with millions of dollars, and they'll maybe buy, and the fund collects, the fund manager collects some of the fees, and then they divvy up the interest among the investors. But funny that you haven't asked me the question, what kind of rate of return does the investor get?
Typically, not yet. not ROI. What is the ROI?
Yeah. Right now, the interest rate is running anywhere from 7 to 9%. Our management fee is 0.5 point. So if the note rate is 8.5, the investor gets 8. Again, this is interest that is higher than a typical institutional mm-hmm. lender because it's a different kind of transaction. Mm-hmm. And the investor is looking at it because it's certainly more than he can get from a CD at a bank mm-hmm. Or anything else.
It's risk-reward trade-off.
It's a trade-off. Yeah. That's right.
No, any investor has to know that.
Mm-hmm.
How do your investors find these loan opportunities? Through yourself or Craigslist, or what are they looking at?
No, they'll call Neil.
Call Neil.
They call Neil Stedman and say, hey, Neil, what do you have?
I've got so much to place at this time.
And there's a state requirement now. I have to get a 2-page document filled out annually by each investor stating their background, their financial capacity, and at what level of risk.
So they're becoming qualified investors.
They become, not to the same degree that we have the term qualified investor in the stock market, but still the broker is responsible for not placing them in something they cannot handle. Okay. I just got a new investor a couple of weeks ago, and he filled out the form, and I saw right away, I'm probably not going to be calling him very often because he's right. looking for fixed income to supplement, you know, his retirement income, different yeah. from the man with the 401k
right.
that's got $2 million in his 401k and can handle it.
Right.
So there's a different levels.
What's one of the most comical stories you can share with us about private lending and all the different aspects you've seen?
I wish I could think of a comical story. I can think of, you know, tough stories, sad stories, all related to people and their circumstances.
What's the learning aspect from that story? What's the pearl of wisdom from the story that you have? It can be tragic if necessary.
As you and I once had a discussion that money invariably brings out people's character. Looking at the character of the people involved, what's their background? What does their credit report tell us about the kind of people they are? Do they meet their obligations? And with the investor, has the investor been highly litigious? Does that investor go to his attorney for every little thing, or can we sit down and discuss it? Yeah. Fortunately, I haven't had very many of those kinds of situations. Well, 30 years doing this.
I tell lenders, I says, never lend a family what you're not prepared to give them. Neil, how can our people contact you?
NeilStedman.com is my website. Lots of good information in there about seller carrybacks, about private money lending, etc. Okay. Neil@NeilStedman.com.
Once again, the clock tells us we're out of time, and what a great time we've had with Neil Stedman of Cascade Capital on private money lending. Thank you so much, Neil, for being with us and joining us today and sharing with us your expertise and perspectives. Every week at the Credit Connection, we endeavor to earn your trust and provide not just valuable information, but actionable tips of the trade that makes an impact on you. If you agree, please share our program with other friends and family. We post current and previous Credit Connection shows on our website, reloans.com, in case you miss one or want to share with someone else. For questions or comments, go to our website, reloans.com, or call us at 805-686-2321 and share your credit stories or scenarios with us. Thank you for tuning in to The Credit Connection, where we do the work and you get the credit. I'm your host, David Brown, from High Tech Lending and American Senior Reverse Mortgage.
You've been listening to The Credit Connection with David Brown from High Tech Lending. For more information, contact David Brown directly at 805-686-2321. That's 805-686-2321. Or by email at dbrown@hightechlending.com. dbrown@hightechlending.com. And visit David online at reloans.com. That's reloans.com. And tune in next time for High Tech Lending's David Brown and The Credit Connection here on KSMA.